Mark Twain once said, "Age is an issue of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter." In Ireland, people over the age of 66 are considered to be retired. But what does the label retired mean to those who must wear it and to the wider community around them? In this five-part documentary series, we speak to people in the community who have retired and ask them if age is really just a number. Phyllis Foley and Frank Downs are founding members of the All Active Retirement Association.
When I retired or semi-retired, but I'd be one person that would never 100% retire. I'd always want something to do. And I suppose keeping that in mind, I felt that other people must be feeling the same. And there are many organisations around the town, like for youngsters and everything like that. In fairness, the sports groups are fantastic. They're everything. But really, there wasn't much for the older group. And I went to the City Hall. Seniors Times or something, they run a thing every year and it comes to the City Hall. And I went there and kind of looked around at the different things for older people and came across Active Retire, because that appealed to me. Even the words appealed to me, that 'twas active. It takes a bit to start off something, and by accident I met Frank. Frank and I never knew one another. And I met Frank down here one night at another meeting, and we were talking about it, when we went outside the door, Frank said to me, "Do you know, if you want a bit of help like that, I'll give it to you." I said, "Grand." And really, that's how it started, and we didn't know how it was going to pan out or what was going to happen, but we held a meeting then up in Brunishy. There was about 10 or 12, 15 or something kind of turned up, you know, and then it grew from there. And again, we didn't know how it was going to progress, but it did progress.
Very quickly, we came to realise that we were a service waiting to happen for people. So, and I think that the group that we attracted initially were enthusiastic and they got more people involved. Probably the we were lucky in that we got the activists in early and they organised and got events going, and the events attracted further people. And now, not even 2 years later, Yarra is well known as an organisation in town, and in itself it's attracting more people. So by the end of this year, we'll probably be up to 140, 150 members. So it's a great success story from that point of view. But it has been damaged, our activities have been damaged by COVID, obviously.
Yall Active Retirement Association is the first group of its kind in Yall. I asked Phyllis and Frank why such a group had not been set up before.
For some people, I suppose retirement means relaxing and stopping kind of the responsibilities and the work, and there is a lot of responsibility with it, really, and at keeping it going there's a lot of responsibility. So I would say maybe a large percentage of people don't want to take that on, and we have really, really, you know, good and successful people in business and everything over the years, but they're done with responsibility.
Well, I think that's very true, and it's reflective of society. There are a large number of people who want to be involved in society but don't need and don't want to get involved in the politics of it. So it was inevitable that three or four or five people would end up driving Yarra, but with the support of all the others. And I think what people are saying, look, I don't have the energy or the enthusiasm, but I support completely what you're trying to achieve. Mm. And I think that passive support is very important. In fact, we have a great level of enthusiasm and support within Yarra for what we are doing, because we wouldn't be able to achieve what we're doing if we didn't have that support.
Frank and Phyllis explained to me how society's attitude has changed around retirement.
I mean, there was a feeling that in the old days that you got to a retirement age, you got a gold watch and you went home and you put on your slippers and you smoked your pipe, read the paper and watched TV, and that was it.
And withered away.
Yes, quite literally withered away. And it was grandma and grandpappy in the corner.
Yeah.
I think that one of the big impacts, obviously, is that people are living longer. There's, for example, my grandchildren will quite safely probably see 100 years of age. You know, so even our generation are living longer and they want to be more active. And I seem to think of it as a third age. It's referred to nowadays as the third age or the golden years. I think what a lot of people are doing now is they're saying, well, I never got a chance to travel when I had kids because I had responsibility. Now I'm going to travel.
Yeah.
And also I think that probably our generation are better funded in retirement than our grandparents' generation, for example. So there are active retirement funds for people at work now. And so people are more comfortable in their retirement as well.
COVID-19 has had a very real impact on groups such as the Yall Active Retirement Association.
We were chatting about this earlier on, and I suppose some people are good, and the people that are very active are able to get out walking and, you know, do different things. They can't really meet up with one another, but I think most people are suffering mentally from it. At the very start, in the first lockdown, the over 70s, which I am one, were all told to stay indoors, and it had a very, very negative effect on people. It instilled fear in people, and then I think it instilled fear in the over 70s, but it also instilled fear into their children, their adult children. And the adult children now are trying to protect their parents, and they don't want them going out, and they don't want them shopping, and they don't want them going to anywhere. So there are some people prisoners in their own homes. So we see that as a huge problem, and as a very big problem going forward, as to how they're going to retract from that, you know, or how people are going to deal with it. For myself, I've been moving house with the last 6 months, and that, in a way, that was very stressful, but it was also good for me because I was occupied and it kept me going all the time, and you had a challenge every single day to just solve something or other, you know. But for people that are sitting at home, I know people that are pining to see their grandchildren, and that's a huge issue because there are a great number of grandparents that really need to see their grandchildren every day because their lives evolve around them and what they do, and that's very, very hard on people.
Well, I think that in our generation there will definitely be a change of approach and attitude. I've met numerous members of our group who said that the incidence of flu this year is way down, and that must be impacted on by the masks. So their view is that whenever they go into the supermarket in future, they will wear masks. Or whenever they're in crowded public places in future, they will wear masks. So I think that the wearing of masks, particularly for our generation, will be widespread for a long, long time to come. And that the impact of COVID will be to make people less touchy-feely. What we're doing now, when we pass each other in the street, we avoid each other. We're not reaching out anymore. We're stepping back. So that mentality is actually, that attitude is going into the mental approach of a lot of people, where they want to avoid people now.
Yeah.
And
that's not good.
That's not good.
No, it's not good.
Many organisations, including Yara, have found themselves having to adapt their services because of COVID.
What we're doing is we're actively involved at the moment in a campaign to develop a range of outdoor activities. So we're We're looking at outdoor yoga. We're looking at outdoor art classes. We're looking at cycling training for people that they can go onto the greenway. We're looking at Nordic pole walking, using Nordic poles. We're looking at a lot of outdoor activities. We last year purchased some garden chairs, mm-hmm. and we had meetings in the garden at the French Gardens, and we intend to pursue that again. So what we would like to see is a lot of our activities taking place outdoors. For example, the outdoor cafes would be more suitable to us in the future. But we do feel it necessary to continue to organise events and give people the chance to socialise in a safe outdoor environment.
Yall Community Health Project is another organisation in Yall which offers services to older people. They have also had to adapt their services because of COVID. Niamh Herbert, community health worker, explains further.
COVID has disproportionately affected the older people the most. Like we can see that. I mean, that age group has had the highest number of deaths. The over 70s were told stay at home, cocoon. They've had no visits from their families. They've had no visits from their friends. You know, a lot of people have lack of independence now because they're being told to stay at home and they're relying on other people to do things for them, which they were very, very capable of doing, you know, themselves. So I suppose a big part of our role in the community is social inclusion, and it's getting people out of their homes, and it's getting people to join groups, to come out into the community, to volunteer, to try new things, get involved with new programs. And obviously COVID hits and it just turns all of that on its head. But we can't meet in person, you know, we can't get out of our homes, we can't volunteer anymore, we can't get involved with these new things. So you have to we just sat down and we thought, okay, the heart of all this is still connection, and it's still like social inclusion and community health. So now we just have to adapt how we provide that service, and we're going to have to take it online. And I suppose we're kind of 12 months into COVID, living with COVID now, and I would say that that's been done very, very successfully across the board. And obviously from my experience in the Community Health Project, most of the programs, I would say all of the programs that we were running in person pre-COVID, we are running or have run online. So it was a challenge, and I guess it's a lot different now to what it was in the first lockdown, and it's taken some time, but What we offered and what I saw other community groups offering is just that one-on-one support and giving people the time to learn these new things. And it has been very successful, actually. So basically what it is it's kind of an approach whereby you might get a family member or a carer or someone to kind of help them set it up, you know, sometimes the email address. And then it's like anything, you know, like it is really scary, and it was really scary for older people or anyone who wasn't computer literate before COVID. But it's like anything, like you get shown how to do it. You do it successfully, independently a couple of times, and then they're very, very capable of continuing with that. And I always remind them of that when we meet. They say, oh, I'm not very techie. And I say, well, look at you. You're here. Like you're here now. There's 15 of us on this Zoom call. So, you know, be proud of yourself. So, again, like it is negative, but you just try and pull the positives out of it.
Well, one of the things that we are looking at and we're conscious of is to try and get more involvement with younger people, between younger and older people. And we're actively involved in a project called Óg agus Éasta. And we're working with Brú na Sí, where Brú na Sí's younger members would look at helping our members to understand technology and use mobile phones, and we in turn could talk to them about the social history and get them involved in social history. So we have an active social history campaign going on where we try to record a social history, but we want to involve younger people in that. What we feel, I suppose, is that there has to be a reason for a younger person to get involved with an older person and vice versa. So if you have a common topic, for example, if a grandfather and a grandson are both interested in football, that's a common topic. So we want to try and create common topics. that the older people could interact and communicate and generate support from the younger people.
I asked Phyllis and Frank what they felt was the biggest misconception about age.
Myself, personally, I think that, you know, we have lived our lives and well, we haven't yet, but you do gain wisdom as you go along. So when you're 30, you're one thing, when you're 40 and 50 and 60 and when you're 70. But it younger people, I feel, have the opposite impression. They think when you get older that you're actually losing your mind a bit and that you don't really know.
Well, to add to that, the point is that a lot of younger people think that as you get older, you become diminished in some way. And in a way, you do diminish a little bit physically and maybe mentally. But in general, it carries on as normal. And the biggest disadvantage, I suppose, is that the word old, as opposed to the word older.
I remember going to America years ago, the first time that I was, or going to Canada, and it was the first time I was ever there, and I really kind of needed at the time because things were quite difficult. It was in the 80s, 1980s here, and the recession was on and my whole life had changed. But I was there for 2 weeks and I came back and I said, they never grow old there. The Canadians or the Americans don't grow old. They had 80-year-olds working in the supermarket for 3 and 4 hours a day. And you were part of society, I felt at the time, and I came back with a totally different attitude. I was younger then, but I kept it in mind. They don't grow old there. Irish people were inclined to. Our attitudes definitely have changed.
Presented by Linda O'Connell. Produced and edited by Sean Healy and Linda O'Connell. Researched by Marie O'Connor and Monica Canary. Supported by the Ireland Fund. Broadcast by CRY 104 FM.
Can't think. so sleepy.